So it is okay to doubt, as we will try to see from Jesus and how he indeed dealt with Thomas. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to open them to John 20, the Gospel according to John. We'll be reading verses 19 through verse 29, 31 or so. That song that we were singing comes directly, it's taken verse 22. And Steve did his very beautiful searching, and so it reminds us of how Jesus dealt with his disciples. As we meditate today, and it is okay to doubt. Have you ever been the odd person out? You have a group of people talking, and they're giggling and laughing, and you come upon them, and they're going to tell you what they were talking about, and you just don't find it funny. Have you ever been that person out? And they're telling you about an experience, and you're like, I don't get it, really. And they're trying to tell you why it's funny or why this experience is meaningful, and you're just like, no. And then they all say, well, you had to have been there, right? And then you say, yeah, I wasn't, so never mind. Well, something similar happened to Thomas, and some of you know the story of Thomas, one of the disciples of Jesus. On that Sunday, when Jesus is resurrected, he appears first to Mary Magdalene, and so the story of that appears in John 20, and then he tells Mary, go and tell the disciples that I'm alive. And so Mary goes, and really they don't believe Mary at first. They think she's telling tales. And so then as the disciples are gathered in that room and they're huddled together and they're fearful, Jesus appears to them. And so this is where we pick it up from John 20, verse 19. And it says this way. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, I just want to hold that for a little bit. When he said that, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. We have seen the Lord, but he said to them, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were again in the house. And Thomas was with them, although the doors were shut. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. The excitement of the news that Mary Magdalene had brought to them, although they didn't believe, but they were still buzzing and they were still wondering and thinking about it. And there were still those 12 disciples were in much fear, and doubt had come. Fear about what was going to happen to them. Fear if somebody was going to come after them. Fear of persecution, fear of having spent 3 years with this guy, now he's gone. Would he really come back? Fear of death. I think that was real, fear of death and persecution. As they are in that state of confusion and doubt, Jesus appears. I love that. When you're in a state of confusion and doubt, there's this sense of serenity. Jesus appears. And the first thing Jesus does is give them a blessing. The blessing is, peace be with you. The blessing is, don't be afraid. Peace be with you. The blessing is, look at my hands and look at my side. It is me. It is me. Peace be with you. What I get immediately is this sense of relief. I've been looking for some relief as of the last couple of weeks. You get this sense of relief. You know, when you encounter somebody and somebody just goes to you and says, it's going to be okay. You want to believe them, don't you? And if you do believe them and they say, it's going to be all right. They grab you and they hold you. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. You just breathe with me for a second. You literally feel that sense of, it's going to be okay. And this is the first thing that Jesus does, provide comfort, provide relief. What an amazing miracle those 12 disciples are experiencing together. From fear to faith, here is Jesus himself back with them. And you could just think that they're going to rejoice because he shows them his wounds. I did this for you, and here I am for you. It is the Lord. I'm sure they're all thinking. Jesus tells them, peace be with you. And then he commissions them, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. He sends them to do that which they had not been sent to do before, to do the same things that Jesus was doing. And he tells them, as the Father has sent me, I send you. Jesus had forgiven sins, and he says, those to whom you forgive sins, their sins will be forgiven. Amazing. Now they're given this commission. You're going to go and do the work that I was doing, and I'm going to count on you to do this work that I've been doing. Go in peace. And so he sends them with this peace. Go in peace. Go and share peace. If you've noticed our singing today, it's all been about being peacemakers. Go in peace. Share peace. Be a peacemaker. Forgive those that need forgiving by pointing them to me. This is your mission. Be a reconciler, not a divider. Sound like a politician now. Be a reconciler, though, Jesus says. Be a peacemaker. Jesus then repeats the blessing, because sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I need a blessing repeated to me. Peace be with you. Won't you turn to somebody next to you and say, peace be with you. Oh, say it like you mean. Peace be with you. You know, it's like getting that blessing from somebody. Jesus repeats that blessing, peace be with you. And we all need this blessing. And someone who needed this blessing didn't receive it on this first time when Jesus comes. Somebody that needed that blessing didn't receive it because he was not there. When you're not there, sometimes you just cannot receive the blessing. And Thomas, wouldn't you know it, Thomas was always around. But on this particular occasion, on this day, wouldn't you know it, Thomas was not there to receive this blessing when Jesus appears to his disciples. He's just not there. And so when they are all locked up and fearful, and they have this incredible meeting and commissioning on this day, Thomas missed it. Where was Thomas? Have you ever asked yourself, if you've heard this story before, if you've read it from John before, where was Thomas on this day? Maybe Thomas was too distraught. He's just too distraught. They've killed the Lord. He's gone. Maybe he's just too afraid. What's going to happen to all of us? I'm not going to hang around with that group anymore. Maybe he's just disillusioned. Oh, man, we had a good thing going. Now they killed Jesus. disillusioned. The Lord is gone. Why bother anymore? We really don't know why Thomas wasn't there. But we do know a little bit about Thomas and his character when we read in John. John 11 tells us a little bit about his character when Jesus was asked to come in and heal Lazarus, his good friend, and he waits a little bit before he gets there. And then when he finally decides that he's going to go 4 days after, Jesus tells the disciples, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." And now you may think, well, what kind of response is that from Thomas? Well, let me suggest to you that Thomas was a little bit intense, a little bit like your pastor. Nah, you're not intense, Pastor Biden. I think I'm finding a kindred spirit with Thomas. Let us go and die with him. The other disciples, whoa, you go. We're not going. And then in John 14:5, after Jesus is telling them that he's going to go and prepare a place for them, and he's telling them about this wonderful heavenly places, Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus answers him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." It was Thomas that asked that question that we all use sometimes to say, hey, we're going to have heavenly places because Jesus showed us the way. It was Thomas. So he was not only intense, he was a little bit inquisitive. See, I'm finding kindred spirit because I'm a little bit, just a little bit inquisitive. I tend to ask a lot of questions. Why? When? Why? How come? He wants to know. Thomas wants to be sure. You're saying you're going to prepare this place, but where is it? Is it down the road at Antioch? Where is it? Is it in Capernaum? Where is this place? How do we know the way? How am I going to? I don't have a GPS. Are you going to put it in my GPS? How do I know the way? So he's a doubter in making, really. Really. You all know Thomas, the doubter, right? So Thomas is an I got to see it to believe it kind of person. Are any of you I've got to see it to believe it kind of person? Yes? No? Yeah? Show me before I believe. Or I got to know it before I follow. Are any of you like that? You finding kindred spirit with Thomas a little bit? You see, Thomas doesn't trust too easy. For whatever his life narrative, his life experience, we don't know. We're not told. We don't know about his parents or how he was treated. Whatever his life experience is, at this point in his life, when we meet him, Thomas does not trust too easily. And so when the disciples tell him that they have seen the Lord, Thomas doesn't believe them. He says, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." Thomas just can't trust what his fellow sojourners are telling him. No, unless he sees the mark, he will not believe. Thomas will not believe. He will not be part of the group unless he touches, and he is an eyewitness himself. He will rather, this is the answer, that's where maybe I depart from Thomas. He would rather be the odd person out than just simply join in. I don't know that I like to be that odd person out all the time. But something happens. Stay with me. A week later, you want to do the counting like I did with the children? No, Pastor Maida, we know what a week is. A week later, something happens so marvelous. Jesus comes back to where the 12 disciples are gathered again. And he does something again that's so radical, just like Jesus. He blesses them again. Peace be with you. And now Jesus speaks directly to Thomas. He turns directly. Were you following the reading? He turns directly to Thomas. Let me suggest he does that because he knows Thomas. Remember, they spent 3 years together. He knows him. He knows his doubts. See, a pastor begins to know those that follow him. And he knows the type of character and the kind of attitude that Thomas has displayed. Jesus knows. He knows that Thomas needs that reassurance. Isn't that great? He knows it. And so Jesus doesn't mind Thomas. He doesn't mind him. He doesn't mind his questioning, his deep desire to see for himself, unless I see. He doesn't mind that he is wanting to find out and to have his own questions answered. Jesus knows this disciple of his, and he accepts him. I love that. He accepts him just where Thomas is, and he invites him again into this relationship. Put your finger in the nails of my hand, Thomas. I know you, Thomas. I know that you need to have your answers. I know that you won't believe unless you touch and you see. Come and put your hand where my side was pierced. Jesus invites Thomas again into this relationship despite the doubts, despite wanting to know. He knows him and he loves him and he invites him into this relationship. And because Thomas knows Jesus, which is the other side, because Thomas knows Jesus, upon seeing him, upon hearing him, Thomas doesn't need to touch. Jesus has taken the time to come to him and to show him that he was in fact alive. And because Thomas knows that Jesus knows him, Thomas believes again and again, not only believes, but makes that faith statement to my risen Savior and Lord, my Lord and my God. Not only are you going to be my Lord, you're going to dictate the things that I do in my life and the way I approach things and the way what I think and what I put in my mind and how my heart approaches in compassion to others. You're going to lord over my life. I'm not going to allow anything else to lord in my life, but you are also my God, the Creator. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, my God, is sufficient for me. You are Elohim. You are that which is all to me. You are all to me, my Lord and my God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You, in you, all of my needs are met. And so Thomas is given this opportunity to believe in the risen Lord through an experience, an encounter. Because with Jesus, it is okay to doubt. It is okay to question. It is okay to see things, to believe, to experience. Thomas ultimately joins those, like all of us, who are asked today, who not having seen, who not having been there, still believe in this narrative that we get from the Bible. Thomas moves from doubter to believer because the very presence of the risen Christ invited him to ask the questions, to test the waters, to look and see and dare to touch. And maybe you've heard the phrase, when in doubt, what does the phrase say? When in doubt? You've never heard the phrase? When in doubt, don't. Did I just make that up? Really? I'm going to Google that. When in doubt, reach out. Oh, I'll use that one next time. No, I've always heard it. When in doubt, don't. Somebody want to Google that for me, please? Because I thought everybody had heard that one. Which means, if you had heard it, to be 100% sure, 100% certain, that you've researched everything out, that you've laid it out, that you've planned, that you've gone ahead, and then you proceed, you believe after you are certain. If you have any doubts, then you won't. You'll just won't go that way. You won't believe. When in doubt, don't. And sometimes, let me suggest to all of us, you agree with me or not, sometimes we ourselves may doubt our faith. What is it that I do believe? Do I really believe this? We may doubt others. Some folks sometimes doubt whether a preacher really believes that which she or he is preaching about, or is that just words strung together that make us feel somehow or not. You may doubt even yourself. You know, am I doing the right things? Am I choosing the right things? Am I saying the right things? Am I spending my time the right way? Am I loving the right way? Am I giving of myself the right way? And let me suggest to us that Jesus seems to be okay with that doubt. He seems to be not bothered by our doubting or by our questioning. As a matter of fact, if we didn't ask questions, how can we find the answers? I think Jesus even encouraged not just some blind faith, but come to the deep waters. Come find out. Come and touch. Come and see. Ask the questions. Go that extra step. So when in doubt, not don't. My phrase. Now forever you will remember. Well, Pastor Maida made that phrase up. But when in doubt, let me suggest to us, be willing to ask the tough questions. In the church and out of the church, be willing to ask the tough questions. Encourage our youth. And I know you probably get all the tough questions, Glenn, as you've been studying John, right? Ask the tough questions. Young people, our children, our adults, everybody, ask the tough questions. Don't keep them to yourself. Come to Bible study. You don't need to know everything when you come to Bible study. I don't know everything. I know I'm shocking you with that one. We're just all going to do it together, asking the tough questions. Don't keep them to yourself. If Thomas had not expressed his doubt and his desire to see for himself, he would have never had the occasion to have the one-on-one encounter with the risen Lord. He would have missed it again. When in doubt, stay. Don't walk away. Let me say that. When in doubt, stay. Whether you're disillusioned or disenchanted or great doubts come your way or you're teeter-tottering on your faith, don't walk away. Stay. Stay and face the fear and find your answers. When in doubt in matters of faith, wait. Wait just a little bit. Don't jump to conclusions. And Jesus may show up. As a matter of fact, I could say that Jesus will show up. Wait and God will answer. Maybe not the way you thought. Certainly not the way I think. But God will answer. And God will lead you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What does it say? He leads me where? To still waters. He restores my soul. When in doubt, wait. And God will somehow open a window, open a door, provide a way for you to get back. When in doubt, believe. When in doubt, believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Believe that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that can come to you and make the impossible in your life possible. That's our hope. That's our belief. When you thought that door was shut, give God another chance. How many of you can raise your hand today and say, you know what, I've experienced that in my life. When I thought something was, the door was shut, and God came and gave me another chance. Because, you see, I was going to have it my way. But then I decided to give God way. And somehow, it happened. When in doubt, believe. When in doubt, believe in the promises of Jesus, who conquered death and wants to give you peace. Why keep fighting, my brothers and my sisters? I'm not suggesting that any of you. I'm saying you, generic you. Have you ever met people who just seem to be in a constant fight? That would have been me or you at any given time of our life. We're, none of us is exempt, right? I keep fighting with the doubts, with the disbelief, with the I'm not going to do that. I'm not. Stay. And yet, give the promises of Jesus, the power of Jesus to come to you and give you the blessing if you only just surrender. What's the blessing? What's the blessing that you gave to one another? Peace be with you. How does that feel? Peace be with you. When in doubt, be willing, as Thomas, to be real, to be transparent, to be genuine, with questions, with doubts, with fears, with your very deep inner being. Don't keep it. Don't hold it. Don't be absent or aloof. Be present. Allow God to show up again and again. Let me suggest to us that there is nothing, just like Jesus knew Thomas, Jesus knows you, that there is nothing in your life that you have done or thought that will shock Jesus into not loving you, forgiving you, accepting you, because he loves you anyway. Nothing in the circumstances that you are going through today in your life, because of fear, because of whatever it is, lack of faith, that Jesus is not going to come back a week later and give you another opportunity to receive him, to believe in him, to receive the blessing. So my brothers and my sisters, as I end today, and all God's people said, amen. With Jesus, it is okay to doubt, to fear. Our invitation today, just be willing to be present, to touch and see for yourself that Jesus Christ is Lord, and my God. Is he yours? My Lord and my God. Won't you say that with me? My Lord and my God. Peace be with you. Let us sing our last song for today. Go forth in his name as printed in our bulletin.